Good evening, Mr. Sim.
Good evening.
The last time we met, we were speaking about Sicily, your time in Sicily, and that was in 1943.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had said that the ports were just opening and that people were being able to come in. And
that's right. The boats, one of the harbours had been captured, and therefore we were able to use one of the big harbours, such as Syracuse. And this meant that we could get the use of our vehicles. Before that, we had landed and prepared to be 3 days without any further supplies, and which we carried, as, which we required a good carry on our back. But after the ports were opened and things going, then we were replenished. You know, we got fresh rations, more ammunition, etc. And the use of our trucks. Before, we were walking all the time. And that was a big help, and that carried on. We moved like that, so therefore we were able to cover more distance in a shorter time with the use of our vehicles. And then, of course, we came to a place, the 152 Brigade hit Francafonte. That was the first. They were held up for a while there, but we weren't affected to the same extent as if there's only the 152 Brigade involved. But we carried on, and it came to near the bridge and the town or the village of Cefiro, which, after some fierce fighting, we were captured and held for the Envias, the race, over 3 weeks.
And is Cefiro, is that in Sicily?
That's in Sicily, yes.
It's still in Sicily.
It's in a line taken from Catania and going inland. And below, at the foot of Mount Etna itself. And that was an active volcano. And it could also, every all day, you know, as you see, a little wisp of smoke coming from this volcano. But fortunately, although it's an active volcano, it didn't erupt the time we were there.
And did it make a noise or anything?
No, not when we were there. It would have rumbled, you know, if it was getting, let's say, angry, you know, and about to maybe erupt, or maybe just rumble away and then cool down again. But as I said, it didn't touch us. And after we had captured and held Cefiro and fought off a counterattack, and we were, as I said, we were there for about 3 weeks, we were relieved by a battalion of the Black Watch, and we were pulled out to take part in an attack on a place called Saint-Eripe at a hill town, which was up. And the attack went down, started, got artillery support, went as far as the searchlights coming on to help us see where we're going, and we were scrambling over this lump of lava, you know, which had been from previous eruptions. But halfway through this attack, it was called off. Another unit had gone into this village and found that the enemy had moved out of it. So there was no further opposition to that. So we thought, I went back to the start line, or less, and then carried on the northward advance through Sicily. And it was fairly, a bit slow, on the slow side again. And the next place we stopped at was a place called Castiglione. And by this time, all opposition on the Sicily had been sort of finished. And we stopped at Sicily and Castiglione for some weeks. And during this time, we had various duties to perform, sort of renewing our equipment, weapons, etc. And also, guards had always meant you were always on guard, so they was provided, in case of any attack of any sort. And we also had to provide a guard for army headquarters, and two companies meant to be, as I heard, you know, a thank you for the good work you did at Cefiro. So two companies went down, one a fortnight at a time, back to army headquarters, that is General Montgomery's headquarters, to guard that. And it was quite pleasant. He provided guards, but the likelihood of being attacked at that was reasonably remote, you know. So after that, the Spanish came back to Castiglione and moved up near Messina to a stopping off point and waited there something to take part in a possible crossing of the Messina Strait. And this, at this point, this is where I left the Gordons and went to a reconnaissance unit. And I went into Italy, and the Gordons went back to Fort Augustus to embark for home.
Okay. Now, maybe some questions just about what you've been telling me there. You mentioned, like, the volcanoes a couple of times.
Yes.
Was it, like, an area that there was a few volcanoes, or...?
No, just the one.
Okay. Okay. And Cefiro as well, is it a town or a city?
Oh, just a... It happened to be at a crossroads, and there was a railway station there, and for this particular time, it was a very important feature on the campaign. And nowadays, it's not even, doesn't even get a mention on the map, you know, it's way into the backwoods again. But at this particular time, when the Germans held this place, and it held up the advance of the 8th Army, you know, in Sicily. So that is how important it was. But now, it's no important at all. Not important at all.
And at that time as well, you know, like, compared to the fighting that you had done in North Africa,
yeah.
Was it still the same idea? Was it still infantry attack?
Infantry attack, yes. Mm-hmm. There was a bridge leading onto Cefiro, and a battalion, the 5th Battalion of Black Watch, they had taken the bridge and had stopped any Germans from blowing up. You know, I believe they did try to blow it up, you know, so they wouldn't be of any use. It would make your advance slower, because it meant if your bridge was blown, then you'd make alternative roadblocks or bridges, you know, to keep going. But anyway, they took it, and we sort of passed through the Black Watch to take the town itself, as they commanded the crossroads and the railway. For things. So that, and it was about 3 days fighting between an attack, counter-attack, and holding it. And then thereafter, it was keeping a watchful eye on it. It came under shell fire every day, at least twice a day, you know, it got sustained heavy gunfire, artillery fire. But then the enemy seemed to. No, they couldn't take it again. So gradually they eased off. And this is where we were relieved by a battalion of the Black Watch to take part in this attack on Centurion.
And what protection did you have? You know how you said you were under shell fire?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you dug slit trenches for yourself. And in some cases, near the railway, what was the railway station, we were able to get, there was all these planks and various covers lying around. And during the dark hours of darkness, you could move around because you weren't, one thing with being in Cefiro, you were under observation all the time, especially during the daylight. And any movement during the day, you drew enemy fire. So most of our getting your meals up, further more ammunition was all done in daylight, darkness, hours of darkness. Very little movement during the daylight. Patrol work was done at night, you know, if you were. You maybe made observed by a couple of observation points, you know, what the enemy was doing or any movement, to check any movement by the enemy. But as I said, no, you were. The enemy had the observation post on top of a high mountain, yes, where they could observe everything going on. And as I said, any movement, you drew enemy fire. And at least in the morning and at night, you got a sustained half-hour barrage of shell fire down on you. Because they knew the positions you were holding, you were in. And you dug, well, a hole in the ground is one of the best means of safety, you know, getting shelter from shell fire or bombing or bullets, etc. So a slit trench is a trench, and if it, you could cover it, get overhead cover, all the better. But we were at part of a river bank, and we dug sort of trenches inside into the bank of the river itself. So we were quite reasonably good cover from enemy shell fire.
And could you see them, you know?
No, you knew roughly where they were, you know, but not all the time. No, we couldn't see them the same as they could see us. But,
and you know how you said at night you got quite a lot done, you know?
Yes.
Because it was darkness.
That's
so
right.
Did you just keep the lights off at night? Did
you just the lights, oh yes, they didn't show any lights. No, no. But when it was dark and you couldn't see, the daylight, their light at the time was quite, you could say, gloomy, but you could see fairly bit what you were doing. You couldn't see maybe 200 yards away, but you kept with it. And there was, at the ferry station, been a tar boiler, and it had been full of tar, and it had been ignited, and it burned all the time we were there. So you get to get a bit of smoke drifting over. And this, although it burned, it was a slow burner in a way, you know. It didn't burn itself out in one night. It kept burning a long time.
And who had lit that? Like,
it had been hit by a shell or an explosive fire like that. That's just through enemy action or their own action.
Mm-hmm. And was there any barbed wire or anything in front of the area where you were?
No, there wasn't. We did try sometimes. You would put up a bit of wire or something to perhaps give warning of enemy patrol coming. You know, you maybe put up maybe 50 yards in front. Do this at night, you know, put up a wire and say there's some loose cans so that perhaps the enemy would trip in this wire and put it off. Just a work. Didn't always work because sometimes a little breeze would make these cans rattle, etc. So it wasn't just too great, you know. But you used to put up maybe a trip wire and it would set off a flare and that would let you know if the enemy was coming. Because, as I said, the trip wire and it pulled the flare, you know, up, ignited the flare.
And did they ever come as near to you as that?
Yes. They had their own flares too, you know, like a para flare, you know, which you could put off with it. So they did come quite near to you, yes.
Okay.
And something very right close to you, eventually. But anyway, that's just part of the frontline activities.
And was there mines there or anything? Was there any
Not at this particular time. No, we did come across anti-personnel mines, but the mines that are usually in the desert for tanks and that, at this spot, we weren't bothered with them.
Okay. And was your battalion all in the same area with you? Or?
Well, the company was reasonably spread out. As I said, there were two companies in Seferro, you know, so, and then others went out into the split out into the foothills of the Etna and that. Yes, so that is it. So the two companies in Seferro were reasonably close, you know. And battalion headquarters were the attack battalion were in Seferro. But then the companies in the foothills, they were more spread out. But not too spread out.
Was there a lot of cover there? You know, like trees
and
things?
The foothills, reasonable, you had to watch it. It wasn't just you could stand up and walk to where you were going. There were times you had to crouch when you were moving around. Okay. Or sometimes crawl, you know, to get from one, say, one section to another section.
And did you say that you were at Seferro for 3 weeks?
Well, that's what I reckon we were, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, were you moved up and down, you know, to the front line?
Yes. We were relieved after a fortnight. We were relieved for about 2 days and we came back to what is called B echelon. That is where the cooks and that, you know, they're usually still within shell range, but maybe out with small arms range. And one where he could rest, you know, and he got a good meal. Perhaps he got more water to wash the shade or something. So we were to live like that for 2 nights and 3 days. We were away, and then we went back into the line. It was a break that you got.
And how did the Avicii capture Safiro? You know, what was the deciding factor on it?
Oh, well, I just perhaps we had maybe more men or a heavier firepower. It just happened to be that either sometimes the enemy, you know, they found they couldn't stand anymore, they couldn't hold us back, and they made a retreated out. And at times they would put in a, once they had moved back, you know, regrouped, and maybe got more ammunition, they would put in a counterattack, thinking that we, you know, perhaps we had just dug in right away, you know, or we'd use the same positions, so they knew which position to shell at, you know. But as I said, that was about a counter attack lasted 2 days, and once you'd finally got the, after the counter attack, you know, you got consolidated your position to what in.
And was there a lot of prisoners of war taken? Was there a lot of prisoners of war taken at Safiro?
No, we didn't take many prisoners, no. As I said, they had made a tactical retreat so that they didn't leave many people behind. A few killed, yes, but not many wounded. They'd all been taken out.
And so did you eventually take over all their positions?
Yes. Something, not a good idea, but once you've cleared them, they may use them. But it's advisable not to, to make another position, because as I said, they know where their positions were. So it's advisable to use a different position.
And at Safiro as well, were you getting supplied, you know, with like food and...
Yes, as I said, it came up during the hour of darkness. You'd have got, a night supply, you know, at the first sign of dark, and then first, say 8, 9 o'clock at night, you would get an evening meal, not a meal at night. Because you hadn't had anyone during the day, so it would be either corned beef or something like that, or a stew, which is quite easy to make, and you got it in tins of stew. And then you would have got, before daylight, dawn broke, the quarter would have come up with a breakfast sort of meal.
So you were getting plenty of food.
Reasonably well fed, yes. At times, if he not have got through, you know, he was shelled in a way up to us then, out of tough luck. We had just had to do without it. But if they got through, then you weren't given 2 cooked meals, you could say cooked meal. During the mid, as I said, we couldn't move during the day. You sufficed with, well, the water. Yes, you wouldn't have got tea, you wouldn't have had any Tommy cookers or that, we didn't have at that time. So we would have done just with, and you were used to meals like that at this time, though, without a midday meal. You'd have had a hard biscuit, you always had to have plenty of them, and you'd munch at that. Just some things that they eat. A boiled sweet used to get in the rations, what we used to get, about 7 sweets a day. And fags, of course, we always smoke fags, you know, as you had them at there. So that was it, yeah.
And if you couldn't move about much during the day, what did you do?
Well, you kept watch. You tried to sleep because you were pretty busy during the hours of darkness. You maybe been out on patrol, so although it was hot, you did try to get some sort of sleep. And you can manage this too, you know, it, although it can become very hot and you can't sleep at all. But you had to try and rest. And you were always some of you on guard, you know, in case the enemy did make an attack. So you did work a system of get at least a couple of hours rest during the day.
And was it during the summertime you mentioned?
Oh, yes. This was, the weather, the climate was quite good, yes. You didn't need a lot of clothes. A pullover would have kept you going, and one blanket, we didn't have sleeping bags or such, you know. One blanket wrapped one day at night was good.
And you mentioned the next place you went to as well, where the searchlights went to.
Yes. Or Century, yes. Uh-huh. After putting in an attack, the capture of this place, Century, you know, because that was the next objective. At the time, it would have been a defensive point for the enemy and could have held us up a lot. But as I said, the attack went down, we went on along with it, and about halfway through the attack, it was called off.
And how did they tell you it was called off? You know, did they...
Oh, well, there was, up to that point, telephones, field telephones, and wireless sets, you know, and sometimes they worked, sometimes, but apparently in this case they were working on the field telephone. And also by word of mouth, when they found the village was cleared, some of the troops were cleared that came back and reported it back to the directing, the general commanding. And that. So that's how they got noted. Perhaps it'd been perhaps an hour, 2 hours after, you know, the attack, something good, and the time they get advanced forward, etc., and takes a bit of time.
And do you remember how you got told? Were you...
Well, just along with the rest, you know, we were told. I do remember scrambling up the side of this hill, you know, and there always seemed to be big rocks, of lumps of lava, you know, and rocks too, and you had to scramble them. And it was getting slow work, and hard work, in a way. No, you're carrying rifles and equipment. So I was very relieved, you know, because we were expecting. By this time, we hadn't got the enemy fires coming down on us. So it was just moving on. So that was that.
Okay, and was the searchlights the normal way that they kind of started a battle? Was that
Yes, that was right.
The normal procedure?
The thing that... Well, Montgomery's Star, we called it Montgomery's Moon, you know. The searchlights, you know, they shine up, and they don't shine right in front of you or that, you know, but it does get a moonlight effect. And you see, it helps you, like, see for some way they are going, you know.
Okay. And then you went to, was it Castiglione?
Castiglione, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we carried on the advance into Sicily, over Sicily, you know, and the position was getting lighter and lighter as we went along. You know, you got the irritating sniper who would, you know, fire at you and get some blow. But in general, the enemy opposition had ceased afterward, moved out of Cepero. Any reasonable resistance, you know, was gone.
And how were the locals taken to you? Were they, you know, did you ever
meet
the locals?
Well, they kept out of the way in many ways, because if you were, they had cleared out, quite a number had cleared out. There were a lot of people, like in Castiglione, a reasonable sized town. Well, some people maybe moved out, but others, where would they go to? We just have to stay and hope for the best. Because I remember when we went into there at night, you know, and the white flags were being flung up from the window, you know. And we got there, as I said, we got in the darkness, sort of took up guard points, etc. And where it was possible, you had a snatch, a few hours sleep. And then come daylight, you tried to look around and see what it was. And they found people, the civilians in the town, they had to move around too. So perhaps you would run them up and check them out to find out what they were doing, you know, in the best way we could. Because none of us could speak Sicilian or Italian at this time. And you had to wait for the intelligence people who, or some interpreters to come along and get things done. But they would, in the first phase, check people out, you know, what are you doing here, and in the best way you could. And then, of course, you had to find out how things were working, where you would billet yourself, you know, which property you would take over to look after yourself, you know. Because this was about the limit, the end of our advance, you know. So that was what we did. And gradually, you get a place to get sheltered in, live in for the next few days. And you carried on. You have your own cooks with you to our rations, so they provide meals. You find a place where there's water, a tap, you know, just not the, maybe just one tap in the building, and that. There's places where, and then been there a couple of days, things were really quiet. The higher command would think, oh, so you'll be safe, we'll stay here, and you can get places, wash your clothes or something. This is where you'd develop the system with the local population would come in. No, the people would get a bit friendly, those who weren't friendly, they would maybe do a washing for you, you know. You take off your shirt, you didn't have much to clothing or a shirt, a pair of shorts, and in your pack, and maybe a pair of drill trousers, or like what you wear, and something like that, but not much. But it was fine just to get a change of fresh clothing. You know. So that's what they did.
Did you do any bartering to get your clothes washed?
I don't think we did. We had some money, you know, which would be military government money, which would be, the Italians wouldn't know much about it because they hadn't been told. And we would change it for local currency in lira, or that, which had been devalued a good bit, you know. Anyway, 5 lira, which would have been equivalent to a shilling at that time, would have said, oh, get your washing done maybe for 2 lira, you know, a tanner, which was quite a good fee. Anyway, we did get things like that, and you had maybe time to get a decent wash for yourself, you know. It wasn't near the coast, so I don't remember any river, but, well, by this time, mobile bath units were coming into being, and they may have rigged up a shower, a cold shower, and get washed like that.
Okay. And did you stay there for long?
No. Well, yes and no. As I said, we were taken down for a fortnight and to Montgomery's Hip. So a fortnight there, another company back a fortnight, been a month, just over a month, 6 weeks. Time, I didn't keep a diary or things like so, I just all guesswork with me now.
Okay.
But I said, yes, a month. But,
And did it improve down at the area where Montgomery's...
Yes, they, by this time, we'd been well in front. They had time to be established to get things working. You know, the local populace, the British Army used to put in, to get down like Syracuse, they would put in a high-ranking officer, like a major or a colonel. They would be the town major, and they would organise the local councils, so they, or get the dignitaries from the town, and just say, you keep things going, we're taking over, but keep things working the way they were, until, and we'll make the changes as such. And usually, the police, they would take over again, do their police jobs and so on. It would upset things a bit, yes, things would be upset. Until they got into the routine, we got things working, found there was no more soldiers, Italian soldiers for one, you know, going around the civilians and taking their uniform off and hitting it, you know. But there were still soldiers, perhaps. So there was no check of plead for things like that. Fifth Columbus, they called them, you know.
And were you finding any Italian soldiers? You know, were you finding any?
We didn't. We were always considering people in front of us, you know, fighting and that. we did come across places where there had been soldiers and bits of uniform left lying around, and we assumed they had changed into civilian clothes or something and gone working on farms. We just don't know. But that is the sort of thing they did find. But in general, no, we didn't come across a lot.
Okay.
That's it. All right.